Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
It is time for the Debate Hockey Podcast as we roll into episode 190. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood, joined alongside my co-host Blake Friars. We're here each and every week through the NHL season talking hockey, and we're on the eve of the what I call the true start of the NHL season. None of this global series BS, and we'll talk about that later in this. But
yep.
It is tomorrow things get going. And it's for real.
Two games tomorrow. Who is it? Rangers and Tampa, and then Kings and Knights, I think.
Yep. Not bad matchups, huh?
Yeah. The Kings game should be all right.
I'm looking forward to watching the Kings this year.
No, they're going to be good. They're
an entertaining team to watch.
They're in the right direction. They're obviously a team that we watch a lot of because they're in the division we cheer for. They got a good young team. I like the additions. They need a bounce back season out of Peterson, though. They gave him $5 million and he shit the bed last year. They're lucky Quick kind of turned back the clock a little bit.
Well, without Quick doing that, that team is a disaster last year. And yeah. I don't worry about that though, do you?
Yeah. You pay the guy $5 million, you would like him to be the guy. So that would be a little concerning if I was a Kings fan.
Well, yeah, but I mean it's one season. I mean,
yeah, signed to a 3-year deal, so see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be too shaken for that. This global series starting the regular season while preseason's going on is idiotic, stupid, and it's so Major League Baseball.
I don't know. Where do you get the baseball from for that?
Because they start regular season while preseason games are still going.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. They do every single year. They did this year. I know they did.
No, they didn't. The season got pushed back 2 weeks because of the lockout. They started not on time.
The year before, I know they were playing preseason games. And I'm like, why not? See, I don't understand why the NHL doesn't have, like, a big event on a Saturday and have every team play, and that starts the season.
Yeah, that's kind of what they're doing this week.
No, they're not. Right? We start tomorrow two games.
Not on Saturday.
Tuesday night. Boy,
Tuesday and Wednesday. Perfect.
That's not perfect.
You got to... Dude, they got to compete with football and baseball and NBA starting up. Dude, they got to have their NHL's got to schedule their games strategically to get viewers. Because unfortunately, NHL is in the United States is fourth in the barrel out of all the sports.
Always has been, and it always will be.
Okay, so you can't complain if they're trying to get nights when there's nothing on. Who cares?
What about the fans? It's a lot more fun to go start your season and go fans show up on a Saturday night.
Sure.
I mean, people work, Blake.
No, I get that. 100%.
I don't know. It's a huge missed opportunity. I think it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Just like I thought the baseball playoff scheduling was stupid. You have a wild card day where it's really good games, and you start games so they end at 8 o'clock at night. Instead of staggering them through, they played the same time. The same time. Like, why would you not stagger that from noon till 9 o'clock at night?
Well, they did. Game one, they did. Game one, they staggered it. They did 12. Yes, they did.
12 and 2.
12, 2, 4, and then 8 o'clock.
So you had baseball games going at the same time.
Yeah, the second game overlapped, but the third and the fourth didn't.
I mean, they could have started, it's on the East Coast, or West Coast, started at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Oh.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, I don't know. It makes absolutely no sense. And I don't like the way the NHL is starting this year. I think they could plan it and market it a whole hell of a lot better, because if you had a huge hockey night in Canada this weekend with big rivalries all across the league, it would be wonderful. But instead, we get Arizona at Pittsburgh on Wednesday night. Whoa. Blowing the doors off there.
That's going to be a great one.
Jesus, I don't understand.
Who does Calgary open up against?
They open up against Colorado.
That'd be a good one. Preview of the Western Conference Final for you there, right out of the gate.
I don't know. I mean, I picked them. I saw Sportsnet today picked the Calgary Flames to play on the Carolina Hurricanes. You picked the same thing. I hope we don't have a curse this year. It scares the hell out of me. It's almost more scary.
That's good. That's actually amazing. When media is, and I dealt with this for a long time, because, I mean, from 2009 to 2013, a lot of people picked the Canucks to win the cup. And as a fan, that's a good time. That's the best time.
It's fun, but the expectations.
When your team has expectations to win and they get picked to win, you're like, yeah, let's go. Like, I'm fired up to start the season. Like, could you imagine being a fan of Arizona or Chicago right now? And it's like, fuck. Let's just get the season over with.
Arizona would be the only team. Okay, we had a discussion at work about this today. Like, how do you change favorite teams, right? It's really hard to do. Right?
It's really hard. I mean,
could you imagine ever doing it? Have you ever done it? I've never done it.
No.
I don't know how you do it.
I'm Jays, Raps, Canucks, Riders. I mean,
but if
I just started cheering for the Seahawks a couple years ago because I never had an NFL team.
But if I had to, and I was an Arizona Coyotes fan, and they did to me what they're doing right now, I think I might bail on them.
I wouldn't. I mean, you already put so much. You already invested so much of your time into the team.
But wait
team,
a minute.
Though.
You don't live in Vancouver. You don't have season tickets. And if I was a fan living in Tulsa, Oklahoma of the Arizona Coyotes, and I don't have season tickets and I don't have that, but I was always a fan of them because I liked them, right? I would peace out on them.
Yeah, but you've already invested so much time into them, though. Being a sports fan, dude, is like being in a toxic relationship. You just can't, no matter how good or bad the team does, that you just can't escape it.
I know. You're so you're like, saying toxic relationships, should stay in them?
There's just the passion. I don't know. You just can't escape a sports team. I just feel like it'd be so hard to just, wake up, I'm not cheering for this team anymore. I mean, you've been a fan for 20 years.
I know. I know. But
I just can't imagine somebody doing that.
Oh, they do it.
Well, they ain't diehards. So they're fair weather fans if they do that. Because diehards don't change their team.
I know. I agree.
Fan for life.
I agree. But when Calgary was talking about moving to Houston, I was done then.
You would have cheered for
me. No, I'm not cheering for a team in Texas.
Yes, you would have. If Calgary moved to Houston, you would have been a Houston fan.
No,
yes, you would have. Don't lie. I've known you for 6 years. Don't lie.
I'm not moving to Houston with that team. I'm not.
Okay. What if it moves to North Dakota?
Okay, let's be real.
It's not in Calgary. It's the same thing.
Well, I have no ties to Calgary, so.
But it's the same thing.
No, I don't believe in.
Why would you cheer for them if they moved to North Dakota but not Houston? What's the difference?
I don't. Well, they're not moving to North Dakota. That's unrealistic.
That's an example.
No, another example would be Kansas City. You got to talk about realistic markets. Yeah, I would cheer for them in Kansas City. I'm not cheering for a Texas team because I don't think a team's going to work in Houston. If they moved back to Atlanta, I would not cheer for them. Because I don't think a team will ever work in Atlanta. It's been proven twice, right?
Yep.
And now we have silly analysts think it's going to work. Yeah. I don't know. Today on the show, we're going to talk 10 questions. Blake's got 5. I've got 5. About the NHL season this year and what lies ahead for hockey fans. And then we'll go around the league, talk signings, cap projections, trade, troubles with Hockey Canada and the Yotes. Yeah, all kinds of talk about on the Debate Hockey Podcast. All right. We like three questions. We always have fun on that time of the show. And at the beginning of the year, for probably the last 3 years, we've started off the eve. Well, usually we have the prediction show on the eve, but we couldn't this year because of the Global Series. We thought somebody would call us cheaters, so we had to do it a week prior. But now we're talking questions. And instead of doing three questions today, we're going to do five from each of us and probably talk about them in a little bit more in depth. But always a fun segment.
Before we start, did you have the Vancouver Canucks being cap geniuses in one of your questions?
No, why would they do?
Oh, man, did you not see?
No.
They're the first team in NHL history to set their opening day lineup with a cap space of $0.
Sadly, I don't know that that's something I'll be proud of.
It's perfect. They got more money. They got more cap for LTIR. It's perfect. Leafs got $4. Canucks got $0. It's awesome.
I would not be proud of that. That means your team sucks.
Buddy. Come on.
I don't know. Do you want to go first, Blake, or do you want me to go first? You know what? I'm gonna ruin something here for you. None of my questions involve the Canucks because I'm trying to lower your blood pressure this week. Okay.
Yeah, blood pressure was almost jumping off the CN Tower on Saturday. So well, we're here though, so that didn't happen.
I think optimism should be because not too many guys get to go on trips like that with their dad, right?
Yeah, it was good. Very depressing, but it was good. Okay, question number one. Will Mike Babcock or Barry Trotz be behind the NHL bench this season?
No, but next season they will.
Both of them?
Both of them. I told you the Babcock thing about a month ago. During one of our summer episodes, I said it. You said I was crazy. I believe he's behind the bench, not this year, but next year.
What about Barry?
I think Barry Trotz could be behind the bench right now if he wanted to.
Yeah.
But I think Barry Trotz is
gonna, I thought he was a do. Slam dunk for the Jets.
So did I, and I wanted it too.
And that's why I think they kind of panicked and hired, what's his name?
Bonus? I don't know. Do you think that's a panic hire? Because I think Bonus is,
I mean,
good.
I don't think that was their, so I don't old, think that though. Was their first choice.
Who was their first? Trotz, obviously. Trotz is
their first. You know who would be a good coach for them? John Tortorella.
I don't know if John Tortorella.
He would be the perfect coach for that core.
You know what though? They had Paul Maurice and I always.
The last.
Didn't you think Paul Maurice got out of him? I think Paul Maurice is one of the best coaches in the league, and that's why I'm like shocked. Like, I don't know. I'm shocked that didn't work out better. I really like Paul Maurice.
Yeah.
All right.
He's going to do good things in Florida. He might win the Jack Adams this year. Bold take.
Maybe. I don't know that that's so bold. I think that's a smart prediction.
First
I think that's a smart prediction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although they were really good last year, and it usually goes to a team that's shitty that gets good.
But, like, it's hard. That a season they had is hard to replicate, and they had some turnover, too. So
yeah, they had more turnover than you'd think. All right, you want my first question?
Let's do it.
Who will be the worst team in the NHL this season? And will this be a year where the word tank is talked about more than ever before.
Well, there's a lottery, so the word tank doesn't really mean as much anymore, right? So,
still means
this
something.
This is the year to suck, though. If you had to choose a year to suck, this is the year to suck because Connor Bedard is something special. He's gonna be a unbelievable player for a long time. The worst NHL team this year.
Okay, I made a list of these, right?
It's gonna be the Chicago Blackhawks. It's gonna be the Chicago Blackhawks.
Do you know what I know though? There is, I counted seven teams in the running for the crappiest team this year.
Okay, I'll play that game with you. We got Arizona.
Yep.
Montreal.
Yep.
Chicago.
Yep.
Did I say Arizona?
Yep.
Okay. So Arizona, Montreal, Chicago, Seattle.
I did not put them. And the reason is because they can't afford to tank in year two.
Okay, but if they got Connor Bedard, that team might take off big time.
Well, you can say that. They just got good picks. I mean,
if you got Matty Beniers and Bedard down the middle, oh my God, that would be unbelievable.
Well, yeah, unbelievable on paper, but they've not grown into who they are going to be.
You had seven teams.
I have seven teams that I think are going to really suck this year.
Is Buffalo on there?
Yep.
So that's four. Detroit? No.
No, I didn't put Detroit. I don't think Detroit's going to be that bad. And I did not put Ottawa because I think Ottawa's going
to
be good.
You picked them to make the playoffs, so I hope they're not in there.
No. You want me to tell you?
San Jose?
Yeah.
San Jose's got to be in there.
Yep. San Jose's on there.
So that's five.
Yeah.
Anaheim? No. Who am I missing here?
Philadelphia. They're going to suck. Oh,
Philly. Yeah, Philly's the big one.
And New Jersey's not, to me.
New Jersey.
They're not ready to take the step.
Did you see that Sportsnet picked them to make the playoffs?
Really? They might prove me wrong.
I swear that's what I saw.
Of these seven, I'll look here as we're doing. Of these seven.
I'll look right now.
Of these seven, though, New Jersey's the one that could prove me wrong. Could.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I don't think I'm wrong on those. I think there's going to be a year where we have some really elite teams, and I think there's going to be a year where we have some really stinkers.
Sportsnet. They did a bracket. Where is it?
Well, let's move. We'll figure it out. Let's move on. Go ahead with your next question.
What are your expectations for Jack Campbell this year?
I think he's going to be good. I don't think he's going to be great. I think he's going to be good, though. I've always thought he's an adequate goalie. I thought he was fine in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to be fine. I don't think he's going to be a Vezina candidate.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. You think he could, be up there? No.
No. And you know what? That'll segue.
Or not Ottawa.
Time out now.
Edmonton doesn't need him to be Vezina, though.
No, they don't. No, that segues into my second question here. Okay? This is a perfect segue. So here's my question, Blake. Will Igor Shesterkin solidify himself as the best goalie in the league? And if not, who challenges him for the Vezina trophy this year? So who are your Vezina candidates? Well, first of all, does Shesterkin, is he really the best goalie in the league? Is he the best goalie going into the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is. I'll give you my top five Vezina candidates this year.
Okay.
Igor Shesterkin. Juuse Saros. Vasilevskiy. Thatcher Demko. And Freddie Anderson.
You want to know who?
Jacob Markstrom is six.
You want to know who I put on my list of guys? And these are in no specific order. These are guys that can win the Vezina this year.
Yep.
I put down Shesterkin, Vasilevskiy, Anderson, Ottinger, Hellebuck, Markstrom, and Sorokin.
Demko died. He passed away?
No, I think it's his fault. I don't think it's his fault. I think he's an elite goalie. I just don't know that he has the defense in front of him to even. I don't know. He's going to have to be over the top.
The only stat that matters for a goalie is save percentage.
No, wins. That's the all. Wins.
No.
Wins.
It's a team stat.
Name me
it's a team stat. Okay. It's a team stat. Yes or no? Wins or a team stat?
I will tell you something now, and I'll make a bet with you. If you go look in the record books, and I don't have the record books in front of me, and we don't have time during the broadcast to do this, but we will look at this for next week. I will dare bet you there's never been a goalie that wins the Vezina that didn't make the playoffs.
Okay, no, that's not the argument though. You just said
Vezina.
The wins.
Vezina.
No, candidate. you just told me wins are the most important stat for a goalie, and that's not true.
No, I said it is a critical stat in selecting a Vezina trophy winner.
Oh, okay, so what about save percentage though?
Yeah, very important.
Save percentage is the most important stat
for a goalie. But if your team doesn't make the playoffs, it gets trumped. He can have an important nine-six this year.
Hold on. So what happens if a goalie this year has 19 wins, but he has a 935 save percentage and a 2.1 goals against, but his team just sucked?
Not me. He's not getting the Vezina.
He doesn't get the Vezina because he has 19 wins?
He won't. It's a team stat. I'm telling you, it's never happened and it won't.
Brad. But we can both agree, let me ask you this. Save percentage is the most important stat. That is the percentage of shots that you saved.
Yes, but it starts here and it goes down in a pecking order. And if you don't have all of them, one of the goalies will.
Okay. But wins is not the most important goalie stat.
No, but it's part of building the Vezina.
Sure. 100%.
Well, nobody's going to win if their team doesn't make the playoffs. They're not going to get voted. They're not.
Okay, so are you a guy that's saying to win the MVP, you got to make the playoffs? Are you in the same boat as that?
Yeah.
So say McDavid missed the playoffs this year, but he has 130 points. Doesn't he get the MVP?
I wouldn't. No, because someone's going to have 110 points that makes the playoffs. It's as simple as that.
Come on.
The variance between players. Okay, so if he has 130 and the next guy in the league has 90, yeah, then we're maybe talking. But that's not going to happen, Blake. He's going to have 130 and someone's going to have 117 and they're going to make the playoffs. And then that guy's going to win the award.
You ready for my next question?
So, I mean, just one more thing on this. The Norris Trophy. Does that really go to truly the best defenseman in the league?
It goes to the D-man with most points, which it shouldn't.
Exactly.
It's dumb.
Exactly. Okay.
There's a trophy for that. It's literally called the Art Ross.
Go for it.
What are your expectations / stat line for Slavkovsky, and do you think he plays the whole year in Montreal? Sounds like he's making it out of camp.
It's going to be a joke. The poor kid's going to get thrown to the Wolves. I think it's wrong. What is the sense of putting him in a situation that's going to be very, very difficult when they don't have to, because they're not winning with him and they're not winning without him? So why put him through it?
What's your stat predictions?
For the year?
Yeah.
38 points.
Like
38 points.
I think he's going to surprise some people.
He's a great hockey player. And you know what? I was for them taking him first.
I think Montreal made the right choice.
I do too. But I wish they'd make the right choice on this one. Because
he's looked good in preseason, though.
It doesn't matter, Blake. There's no upside to rushing him when your team is
There's no upside, but what happens?
There's only a downside.
What happens if he comes in and gets 60 points this year and wins the Calder?
Your team still sucks.
Then do they make the right choice by keeping him?
I don't know. I think there's more possibility of disaster than
upside.
There's more.
No, there's more
downside than upside. There is an upside, but there's more downside than upside.
I don't know. I'm going to disagree with you on that.
What's the upside? Is this team making the playoffs with him?
No, but the upside is he's going to get a lot of playing time because they're not prioritizing winning.
So they're going to burn a year of his contract. He's going to get
a year of his contract regardless. They signed him right out of the draft. If you would have played in the AHL or the NHL, you still burn a year of his ELC. Doesn't matter.
Okay, but then you're also got to look at it this way. He's going to have to go against tough matchups and he's going to get beat up.
That's fine. You got to learn. Oh, no way. No better way to learn than him playing. No better way to learn. He's going to play
15 to 20 minutes a night on Montreal.
So what was Detroit's method? You let players mature and you bring them in and then win cups.
Yes, 100%. But they had...
How did it work for Edmonton? How did it work for Edmonton?
Yeah, okay.
What? I keep coming on with good examples.
A good example, but...
Perfectly
Detroit,
right.
But in Detroit's defense... They had a lot of leadership in place, and they could afford to do that.
They could afford it because they had a good hockey team. It was tough to make the team. But in Edmonton
Montreal's rebuilding.
Edmonton's a prime example. When all these good young prospects came into play, they were a crappy team, right? And what did it do?
I don't think
scored them all.
Players were that bad. The only one that really didn't pan out was Yakupov.
And Jordan Eberle.
He was fine.
And Taylor Hall.
He still scored 30 goals.
I'm telling you, though, did they live up to their expectation?
Probably not.
No. But if they would have came into if they wouldn't have been rushed in, would it have been better? I don't know. We don't know.
They needed those kids to be the savior. That was the problem.
You can't depend on kids to save the day. Name me a franchise that had kids save the day.
If you're Montreal's organization, you're not saying Slavkovsky kid, you got to put up 60 points or he's a bust. Like, no.
No,
there's going to be growing pains with all rookies. There's going to be mistakes.
For sure
there's going to be mistakes. There's going to be fuck-ups.
Okay. There's something to be said, though, about learning a winning culture versus learning a losing culture. Jack Eichel learned a losing culture in Buffalo.
Yeah. And he transferred over to Vegas. Seems like. I don't know.
We'll see this year.
Might be a little off base, but we'll see. What Montreal's doing. They're bringing up these young guys. They're giving them a taste, and they're going to learn how to win as a team together.
So I get into arguments with Flames fans all the time, right? And they say, well, we need to have these prospects playing. Good teams don't have prospects. Good teams have good players.
Contending teams do need a few ELCs to make the cap work, though.
Calgary's not.
Huh?
If Calgary wins the cup this year, we have zero ELCs.
Calgary doesn't have one rookie.
No. We have zero.
Mackey's not a rookie. Mackey's not a rookie?
He's not on an entry-level contract.
He made your opening day roster. He's not a rookie?
I don't believe he's on an ELC, though. Let me pull it up here.
No? Let's
he makes league minimum. Site. He makes league minimum.
Let's put up our site here.
Yeah, he's not on an ELC. He's on a league minimum, or he's on a $912,000 contract.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
It's not an ELC. ELC.
But guys making ELC money. That's what I was getting at.
All I'm saying is, shitty teams rush prospects. Good teams don't.
Yeah, I agree. But there's also a time and a place to rush prospects. If you think this guy can be a difference maker in your lineup, then why not?
Then that's not rushing him, though.
Okay, so Slavkovsky makes the team out of camp. Hold on, because Slavkovsky made the team out of camp. Yep. They're going to give him his nine games. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't do good, he goes down to Laval.
Yep.
What's like?
I'm fine with that.
Nobody's saying that he's going to play 82 games this year, but he made the team out of camp. They're going to give him his nine games. And if they don't think that he can translate this year, he goes down to Laval. Mm-hmm.
But Blake, and also to show you too, if he doesn't go past those games, he doesn't burn a year.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's my point. You ready for the next question? Is it your turn or my turn?
No, it's your turn. It's your turn.
Okay, we're getting into these. These are good questions this week. Who are the true Stanley Cup contending teams?
I have Calgary. I have three.
You have three.
Calgary, Colorado, and Carolina.
Okay, I have those three.
I'll throw Tampa in there too.
Yeah, I had to throw Tampa in.
You got to throw a Tesla for it. Until they show they can't do it, they got to be in.
They got to be in. And I added one more. I put Edmonton in. I think with Jack Campbell now.
Oh, boy. Clip it. What time is this? 30:03.
Well, I don't rip Edmonton. I mean, I think they've done a lot of things with their roster in the last two years.
I don't love their back end, though.
I don't either. But
I don't love their bottom six either.
I don't.
Now, hold this. It's better. If this Dylan Holloway kid comes up and gives them some depth in the top six, and that's a big boost.
Yeah, for sure it is. I have three teams in my tier two. That's Florida, Toronto, and Pittsburgh.
Oh, you donkey. Donkey. Toronto?
Yeah.
Well, Pittsburgh.
I have them. Florida, Pittsburgh, Toronto. They're in my tier two. Florida, Pittsburgh.
How about the Rangers?
No, they're not quite ready.
They're coming.
God, they're coming. Are they coming?
They're coming in hot.
I thought about adding them, but they haven't showed me yet. Florida,
they're coming. Florida, for a team that just started a rebuild 3 years ago.
Yeah, I agree.
It shows you. I mean, you get an elite goalie. I mean, it just accelerates the changes everything.
Changes everything.
Yep.
Okay, fire away next question.
Oh, got to pull up my phone here. What player on a new team will have the biggest impact?
On a new team? Oh, why do you ask me these questions that seem to always revolve around Calgary this year? Probably because Calgary was the most active offseason team.
I haven't asked you one question about Calgary this year.
No, but it just seems like when you say new players this year, like premier new players either left Calgary or came to Calgary, it seems like. No, you know who I'm going to say makes the biggest difference?
Answer, man?
No, you know what? You know who's going to make the biggest difference? Jack Campbell. He solidifies a lot on the back end.
I'm going to stick with that position. I'm going to say Darcy Kemper.
Yeah?
I think he's going to really solidify their net.
Yeah, no, that's a legit answer. Yep. All right, my next question. Will goal totals continue to increase this season? From the last 8 years, it's went up from 2.71 to 2.77, 2.97, 3.01, 3.02, 3.14 last year. It just keeps climbing. Will that continue to increase?
There's two ways to look at it. The game's getting faster. It's getting more skilled. But the goaltending is still getting better too.
I know.
So that's the thing. So what did you say? Was that
3.14 last year. The average goal total per game.
I'm going to say it goes down. It's going to go down.
It's going to go down a little bit. Because last year was the league averaged 6.3 goals per game.
So it jumped 0.12 points last year.
Yeah, more than that. It jumped 20 points last year. Went from 2.94 to 3.14.
Yeah, it's going to go down.
Okay.
Goalies are getting better, man.
I agree. And I think go.
Yeah. Where did I put this last one? Oh, who's going to be the first coach fired?
It kills me to say this because I don't want him fired because I love him.
Bruce Boudreaux.
Yeah, I'm afraid it is.
I can read you like a damn book, Brad. I've known you for too long.
I'm afraid it is.
I shouldn't even ask you that question.
Yeah, you kind of put that one on a tee. Because I've kind of stayed away from the Canucks.
I already knew your answer.
They could prove me totally wrong. They could.
I already knew your answer. The Canucks are dead right now, so we'll see how they start.
And you know what? This is not Bruce. If they start bad, it's not Bruce Boudreaux's fault.
No, well, it's... It's tough when they go out east to start, though. Like, it's like, God damn, that's tough. I don't know.
I'd rather start out in east playing New Jersey and Detroit than I would starting the year Colorado, Edmonton.
I don't think they...
Do you want to start the year Colorado, Edmonton, Vegas?
Is that how you start?
Yeah.
Canucks.
Do you want to do that?
Hold on. So the Canucks are at Edmonton. Then they're at Philly.
Well, that's a
key. At Washington, at Columbus, at Minnesota, and then they're home to Buffalo, home to Hurricanes, and then
I don't think
they
play
Kraken, Pittsburgh, Devils, Ducks.
So that what's so hard about that?
And then they go out east again. Yeah. They do two Eastern trips in the first 2 months.
That's great.
They go
That's great.
They go to Ottawa, Montreal, Toronto, Boston, Buffalo.
Calgary did that last year, and it was the best thing for them.
Why? Because they didn't have to travel as much or later in the season?
They hardly left the West. I mean, they didn't leave the Western time zone for the last 2 months.
Yeah.
There's two ways to look at that.
Yeah.
There's really two ways
to look at that. You're going to get a lot of home games towards the end.
Yeah. All right. Next question. This is the final question, isn't it?
Yeah, 10.
Last year, we saw more comeback wins in the NHL in hockey history. Will this trend continue? Just to preface it, Blake. Last year, 42% of the games saw comeback wins. 10% of them saw multi-goal comebacks. And 17% of the games saw third period comeback wins. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think it depends what the penalties look like this year. Because if there's more power plays, there's going to be more comebacks and yada yada. Like that kind of goes hand in hand.
Yep.
So I'm going to say no. I don't think that's a lot. 42%.
That is a lot. That's a crazy
like half
number.
Of the games.
It's a crazy number. That's why when I saw it, I have to ask.
That's almost too high to continue.
When I saw it, I'm like, oof, got to ask this question. But it's going to be interesting, and it gets going tomorrow night. All right, let's go through some news from the league, as there was a lot happening in the league and a lot of signings. And let's talk about those right away. As right after we got done recording last week, Matthew Barzal proceeded to sign an 8-year, $9.15 million contract. Your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, a guy that was kind of sheltered a little bit under Trotz, couldn't get freed up offensively, played a more defensive style game. So we'll see what he does under the new coaching staff. What was the AAV again?
9.15.
Yeah, 9.15. It's a little high AAV.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think so. It's a little high.
But they could not afford to lose him after losing Tavares.
No, they couldn't. They couldn't. They had no choice to give. They pretty much gave him a blank check. So I think Matthew Barzal is a great player, played in the Western League in Seattle, watched him growing up and kind of progressing. But yeah, I think he's a great player.
I think that's fine, AAV. I think he'll produce. I have always thought, he's one of the most exciting players to watch in the league. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's bad. Here's the one I have a little bit of, I don't know what I think of this one, but Jason Robertson signs of the Dallas Stars, 4 years, 7.75.
Hey, it's a good deal.
This walks him straight to
To UFA.
A qualifying offer of over $9 million.
Yeah, so they're going to sign 4 years. Hold on. So let me do some quick, research here.
This guy did nothing in the playoffs last year.
Hold on.
He did nothing.
Hang on. In 4 years, Jamie Benn's 9.5 is off the books.
I don't care.
Mason Marchman's 4.5 is off the books. Esson Lindell's 5.8 is off. They're not going to worry. Like they have a plan. They have a good plan in place that they have enough salary coming off the books, and it's a good bridge deal. It's a good bridge deal. This guy just had 40 goals. He's a good player. He's young. He's the centerpiece of the team. He's the motor of the offense.
I think they're going to hate this deal. That's my opinion. On to the next signing.
But it's only 4 years. It's not eight.
Yeah, I know.
It's not eight.
I know.
So it can't be. It's not that bad.
I guess you can look at it that way, yeah. Mackenzie Weegar, 8 years, 6.25 in Calgary. Your thoughts?
Yeah. When I saw this in Toronto, I almost called the authorities I mean, Brad Tree Living should be in jail for this. Like, just costing Uyghur all this money. Uyghur should be making way more money than this. It's just, it's not good for the league. It's not.
It's not good for your Canucks, is what you're saying.
Not good for the league. It's a travesty to the game that
if he doesn't get get GM of the year this year,
they sign him for so low. Does he have something on his family? Like, he blackmailed him? Something? Like, what? 6.5? Like, what the hell's going on? 6.25. 6.25 for 6 years.
8 years.
Even worse. Oh, my God. Couldn't believe it. Hell of a deal for Calgary, all jokes aside. The trade that just gets better and better for Calgary, right?
I mean, gets worse and worse for Florida.
Everyone says, oh, if it's a failure if they don't sign Huberto and Uyghur. I mean, okay. You got Huberto for 8 years.
I thought, honestly.
You got Uyghur for 8 years. You got Schwint for, I think, 8 years of control. And you got a first-round pick.
I thought, you know, when they first made the trade, you know, I thought, well, if we can
I thought they were going to lose one of them.
So did I.
Be able to get both.
I thought we'd get Uyghur, maybe. But I thought we'd lose Huberto.
I thought they would have signed Huberto. I didn't know if they'd be able to keep Uyghur.
We got them both.
So. It's a good deal.
Yeah,
heck of a deal. They got their core locked in, and now the bomb is officially ticking.
Daryl Sutter signs for a 2-year extension, so he's got this year and 2 years after that. And yep. Now the only person left to sign is Brad Treliving.
Yeah, if you're the owners and you're Brad Treliving, I'm taking a blank check in there. And you see my off season? Give me whatever I want. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah,
I would like a 5-year extension, please. Thank you.
Salary cap projections. Reports came out this last week that this year it's going to be 82.5, next year 83.5, 24-25 it's going to be between 87.5 and 88 million, and then in 25-26, 92 million. Upon that news, Frank Cervelli believes that Austin Matthews' next contract will be in the range of 8 years, 133.6 million, a 16.7 AAV. That is the cap term limit that you proved me wrong on last week. Is this happening? Do you think this will happen?
Oh, wait, can you repeat that, please? Just for listeners, can you repeat that, please?
I told you, I will admit when I'm wrong. You don't, but I do.
I always admit when I'm wrong.
Tyler Myers, yeah.
I never said that.
Yes.
The proof is still not evidence. There's no evidence of that.
It's in like episode 23 if anybody wants to go back and listen.
Just like there's no episode, just like there's no evidence of me saying Hughes is better than McCarr.
You did say that multiple times.
I recall that. But you did say Laine is better than Matthews.
I know, and I've said that. I did say that. I had a lot of people agreeing with me, too.
To answer your question, Matthews will be signing the maximum contract with the Arizona Coyotes.
No way. You're going to get booted right off the show. No way.
But hey, would it surprise me if you went to like LA or something?
Nope.
Would not surprise me.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
I want him to leave Toronto so bad. They deserve to suffer for so long.
I don't know. I don't know what you have against Toronto.
I'm just joking. He's not going to Arizona. I'm just kidding. He's going home to save the Desert Dogs.
Yeah. They need more than Austin Matthews. Trade. Vancouver, Chicago pulled off a minor trade. We'll talk about it just a little bit. And the only reason I want to bring it up is I got a question for you on the backside of it. Vancouver gets Riley Stillman. Chicago gets Jason Dickinson and a second rounder in 2024. Your original thoughts on this, and then I have a follow-up question to it.
Yeah, the long outlook of this ain't great. You trade a third-round pick to get Dickinson, then you end up trading Dickinson and a second just to get rid of the contract that Benning signed him to last year. Patrick Alvin cleaning up old Jimbo's messes. Jim Benning, the gift that keeps on giving, it seems. He just didn't fit. And it looks like, based off the Canucks opening day roster, that Neil Zaman took Jason Dickinson's spot. 6'2", former sixth-round pick of the Colorado Avalanche. They signed him in the offseason, and he seems like he's won a job. And they had to create room for him, and they ended up saving some money. I like the addition of Stillman. He's a young D man, left-hand shot, not afraid to drop the gloves, hit hard, a hard hitter. Seems like he's a pretty good skater. So, I mean, you can never have enough depth on your back end. I mean, that doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
He's probably going to play their third pair.
So with this sign, with this move that the Canucks made, and we're not going to go deep into this because we got to roll on, but this is something that maybe if the Canucks get off to a bad start, which I don't know that they will, we would talk about in more detail, but is this a year that maybe the Canucks should be thinking about reset instead of go for the playoffs, or am I being a lot premature on that?
Yeah, it's a little premature. I mean, I know what you're getting at. You're getting at Horvat here, but yeah. That's the main guy that doesn't have a contract for next year, and they've been talking about reallocating money to the back end and improving the back end, and every single person that knows hockey knows that that's Vancouver's biggest weakness is on the back end. But I mean, that's going to be a hard decision to have, that they're going to have. I mean, Horvat's been the captain since I think 2017. No. 2019. So he's been the leader for a long time, but like I said, this is Miller's team now. They signed him to be the guy, and
I agree. Yeah. Hockey Canada, the troubles keep brewing and brewing and brewing. Sponsors like Canada Tire, Nike, Tim Hortons, boy, and I know there's 100 more I'm not naming. Tell us.
There's a huge list. I think the list is like 20 long.
Yeah. Probably like 80% of their sponsors have pulled the plug.
And this is great. This is going to force Hockey Canada's hand, because if they're not getting any money, they're going to have to look in the mirror and say, okay, like, can this be our organization if we're not getting any money, right? I mean, did you see that a second fund came out too?
A second fund has come out. I've also heard that Andrea Skinner has submitted her resignation as the interim chair of Hockey Canada.
Oh, she did? She did?
Yep. And Quebec Hockey.
I missed that, because Quebec Hockey and Ontario
aren't giving any money. Hockey
aren't giving their money. And I think a lot of provinces are probably going to follow suit on that too.
So where does this go? And how many years before?
You asked about this last week. It's very interesting. I didn't know about the Skinner resignation, because she said I know she faced a lot of backlash for when she went on and said, I don't think the upper senior management needs to change, and yada, yada, yada. And she took the heat on that on social media from what I was reading, but.
She's gone now.
Yeah, just from a female to say that, I mean, it just sends the wrong message.
I don't care if it's from a male or a female.
No, but for what the situation's about, if I was a young female in Canada and you heard a female say that and defend the culture, I'd be a little upset.
I think the whole thing should be upset. Whether you're man, female, whatever color you are, doesn't matter. I think we worry about who it's coming from more than what we're saying. And the mm-hmm. statement from a man versus a woman is ridiculous. It doesn't matter. It's a ridiculous statement. Yeah. And the whole thing is just wrong. And I'm shocked, because I thought when this originally broke, I thought it would be freaking minutes and Hockey Canada would be just gutted. And is almost like they said, it'll go away.
Well, that's what they've been doing for the last 20 years, is just sweeping all this shit under the rug and paying off the victims with funds. And now they're getting exposed, and now they're going to have to pay the price. I mean, they have no choice not to strip down and start over. They have to.
Yeah.
You have to get new, you have to get a new leadership, and you have to try and create a appropriate culture, because the shit that's going on now is not, it's not acceptable. No. And it makes me, it's a black eye to the country, and it makes me feel ashamed. It sucks.
Well, hopefully they get things
that's
straight.
That's a game in Canada that has been like,
it's Canada's prized possession.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. I mean,
it's what the country is known for.
That, yeah. So just to, for that to just be compromised, I don't know what word I'm looking for.
I know what you're saying. It's tarnished the country, not just hockey.
Yeah, it's tough.
The Arizona Coyotes players are supposedly very unimpressed with the arena. And then it comes with, I did not know this. Did you know this? Is this accurate? I saw that the first 20 games for the Coyotes are on the road. Is that true?
Oh.
That sounds like way a lot. That can't be true, can it?
Don't, Coyotes schedule. Let me look.
But anyways, the players, it's well known now that the players are not happy with the accommodations. And, I don't know why people are surprised about that, because we knew they were going to not be conducive to National Hockey League standards. No, it's not 20.
Holy shit. This is bad.
It's 9 games on the road.
So, hold on. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. First 6. And then they have 1, 2, 3, 4 at home after that. And then they're on the road for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So
they're getting 11, four of their first 20.
17 of their first 21 are on the road. That's insane. Holy shit. That is insane.
Hey, Connor Bedard might as well pack his bags.
They might get a head start in the whole tank. Holy shit.
Jeez.
They're going to be tough to catch.
They're going to be tough to catch in the race for the tanker.
Watch them get last by like 20 points and lose the lottery. Oh, boy. That would be,
only the Canucks, that would be tough. Only the Canucks would do that.
Yep.
Time to roll on into listener question. All right, listener question this week. Since we did all our questions during the show, we don't have 3 questions this week. But we do have 1 listener question, and the listener question is an interesting one. It's very quick, it's very short, and I think the answer will be one sentence from each of us, but that's okay, because I like the question, and it is this. Is this the last year we see a shootout in hockey?
I wish it was, but unfortunately not.
I know. I think every diehard fan.
I wish the NHL would just get a whole new point system.
Go 3-2-1.
You get 3 points for a win, and you get no points for a loss. That's it. Three.
Oh, you wins, can't do 3 that.
Points for, why not?
I think you
lost the game. Why do you get rewarded if you lose the game? So then
you go 2-0. You can't give a 3-point spread. 2-0. So
loser point, nothing. Why are you going to play for losing?
Because it's a shootout. It's not fair. The league knows it's not fair. I would be more, if they're going to keep the shootout, then you go 3 points for a win. 2 points for an overtime.
For a regulation win.
3 points for a regulation win. 2 points for an overtime win. 1 point for an overtime loss. And 0 points for a loss.
Yeah. I guess.
I'll just get rid of the damn shootout.
I like the 2-0.
Get rid of the shootout, right? Get rid of the shootout. Yeah. When I saw this question, I was just like, hell yeah, let's get rid of the shootout. Does anybody like the shootout? Nobody likes the shootout.
Kids, the young kids do. Us old guys don't like it. No.
I don't like it. I think
don't like it at all.
You don't see the Masters getting solved with a putt-off.
Let's do a putt-off. Let's do a field goal competition. Let's do a home run derby. Oh,
there would be some teams in the NFL that would be so screwed in a field goal competition. The Vikings would never win.
Oh, maybe losing every God. Game. God.
Crazy. All right, we're back next week. Next week on the show, it's going to be all hockey talk. Yeah, we're talking hockey next Monday night.
Regular season hockey to talk about.
That's right. Regular season, and there's some really good games this weekend, and lots to talk about. Is we're going to talk about, yeah, the news and the happenings from week one of the National Hockey League. Get on over to debatehockey.com for all the back episodes. You can check us out on YouTube. All the links for podcast players are all on that website. We're back next week. Talking hockey every week on the Debate Hockey Podcast. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.